Hello, all of you out there in Radio Land. This is KPTZ Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. And for our virtual listeners, we hope your computer stays locked on our website, kptz.org. The website's more than a way to listen to today's show. For example, you can find the biographies of all our hosts and DJs. You can look up calendar listings to see what's happening around town. You can even sample some of our earlier shows. In fact, much of the original programming on KPTZ is currently available as podcasts. You know, double your listening pleasure. Listen to today's show as well as some earlier ones. I'm Marianne McNellis. This show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who are those two women in colorful knit hats striding down that steep hill on 12th Street? They were so absorbed in their conversation, it didn't seem to occur to them that cars coming down the hill had to brake hard to keep from hitting them. We have some rather fanciful vehicles around town, too. Their owners must be rather unique. First, there's that unique Lex truck. It's sort of like a mini pickup, painted blue and yellow with lightning bolts along the side. That's surpassed by the little red and black smart car with flames shooting up the sides. Wonder if the cops have noticed either of them. Unique indeed. Jefferson County is full of all sorts of fascinating characters. This show, Our Town, tries to profile some of the singular personalities who live here. But the show's only a half an hour long, which definitely isn't long enough to do justice to some of our citizens. So consider this a synopsis. We try to get our guests to talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers, and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otter, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. Today, my guest is Marge Rosen, the new conductor for the Port Townsend Summer Band. You know, the name Summer Band is somewhat deceptive. In fact, the band is giving a performance on November 11th, Veterans Day. So, Marge, congratulations on your appointment as conductor of the band.
Thank you.
But let's start at the beginning. Are you a local girl born and bred on the Olympic Peninsula?
I am not. I come from New York, and I've spent 27 years in Seattle before moving to Port Angeles.
I see. So let's start back in New York. Were you in Manhattan as a kid?
No, I was born in Queens, and then my parents moved out to Long Island, the suburbs where I grew up. Then I went to college upstate New York, like most people.
My sister went to school in upstate New York, too. She went to Cornell.
Oh, right next to Ithaca College. That's where I did my master's.
Aha. And what did you get your master's in?
In music education.
Okay, let's back up a little bit. When you were a little kid, did you have a clear vision that you wanted to do X when you grew up?
You know, I'm fortunate that I always had a passion for music, and that's been my focus. For me, it's always been music.
Wow. Do you come from a musical family?
I don't. Mom is an artist. My sister likes to write, and she does very well at that, and I do music.
How old were you when you first took up an instrument?
I was 5. My parents got me some guitar lessons. Then we got a piano, and I had piano lessons. Then in school, I started playing in the school band.
Wow. That is impressive. So you mastered several instruments as a kid.
I don't know if I'd say mastered, but I had some.
You played them.
Yes, I did play them. I had some good experience with them.
Were you in the high school band?
Yes, I was.
And was it one of those marching bands that go to parades in different places?
We did march in parades. We did football games.
In the high school band, which instruments were you playing or instrument?
I played trumpet. That's my main instrument.
Starting from when?
4th grade.
Wow. Yeah. You were very focused. That's unusual, but great. And so you decided that you wanted to study it at university.
That's right.
And was it hard to find a program that suited you?
No, we're fortunate in New York that we have a lot of state universities as a whole system. Several of them have very good music programs, so I had some private lessons and I worked on auditioning. So I wound up going to the Crane School of Music at Potsdam State University for my undergrad.
When you were going to university, did you have part-time jobs in the summer?
In the summer, I worked in a library. I worked in some summer camps, you know, that kind of thing.
But you didn't manage to get any music gigs?
Oh, good. Yeah, we freelance when we can.
Yeah. No, but I mean as a kid, well, not a young adult. You know, some people manage to get on to some things that actually enhance their resume, and the rest of us work at McDonald's or something.
Right. Well, you know, I'm fortunate that I was able to get the traditional Easter gig or Christmas Eve gig and little things in between.
Okay. When you were getting your master's degree and you were facing probably that you had to support yourself, where did you look? What were you looking for at first?
Well, my degrees were in music education. I just always expected that I would be a music teacher. Mm-hmm. I didn't really have many other musical opportunities that I could see. You could try to be a performer, but how many people get to play in the symphony? Not very many.
Yeah. Well, that's realistic of you. So did you start teaching immediately?
I did. I was fortunate. For instance, my first teaching job was for a woman who was on maternity leave. So she was out for several months, and I filled in during that time.
Great experience.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Did you do that for a couple of years?
Yep, I did that for a couple of years, and then I went to grad school, got my master's, and then was teaching full-time after that for a while.
Was this still in upstate New York?
I did some teaching upstate New York. But then after my master's, I was recruited to teach in the Washington, D.C. area, and I taught for a couple of years in Prince George's County. It's the suburbs of Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Were you at a public school?
I started off teaching high school. I had a choir. I started a band. There was a couple of piano classes, and then I transferred to middle school where I had a 7th grade band and 8th grade band and taught some general music classes.
Wow, that's a lot. Going to D.C. after growing up in New York, a whole different experience there.
Absolutely.
And what did you like about it?
Well, it was unlike anything I'd experienced before. I mean, the schools were inner city schools. There were kids that were coming to school that had a lot of problems, poverty, drug use at home, in many ways very sad, but also very enriching for me to be able to reach out to a community I was not really very familiar with and try to do some good. I was doing some freelancing in the D.C. area and really enjoyed like the Smithsonian, everything that Washington, D.C. has to offer.
Yeah, it's a great city.
It is.
When we were talking earlier, you were talking about the mall and all the music that happens there. Talk about that a bit.
This was something I wasn't even aware of until I moved down there. But almost every night of the week, one of the military bands from Washington, D.C. play free concerts on the mall.
Nice.
The Marine Band, the Navy Band, the Air Force Band, they all put concerts on for free. And these are, you know, the top echelon musicians in the country. So I would just go like everyone else with a picnic and chair and sit out and listen to fantastic concert band music.
What kind of music specifically did they play?
Well, you'd have your John Philip Sousa, you'd have your marches. There would be traditional concert band, wind band music, Holst, Granger. There would usually be transcriptions. It could be the 1812 Overture or something from an opera. And there's usually a guest soloist as well.
Wow. I wasn't even aware that that happened. You know,
me neither.
I
what
guess
a great
you have
surprise.
To live there. Yeah. When you live there. Okay. Well, you obviously learned a lot. Did you make friends with some of the band members?
Yes, I did. I wound up freelancing quite a bit around the Washington, D.C. area, and it seemed like a lot of the musicians that I was running into were in these military bands. And they were like, you should be in the military band. They started recruiting me, and I was like, I didn't know whether I could like make it through boot camp. I'm not an athlete, I'm a musician. And I didn't know whether I could afford it either. going in as an enlisted person. But I decided to give it a shot. They're like, we did it. We made it through boot camp. They had families. They could afford it. And I said, well, I think I'd like to try it. So I auditioned for the Navy band, and I was accepted.
I've heard a lot about boot camps, but I've never been in the military. So how much of it is myth and how much of it is actual terrible sergeants shouting at people? And
yeah, there's a lot of shouting involved. But I went in older.
Yeah.
And I think that was helpful for me. I worked physically to be prepared for the worst when I went into boot camp, and I found that I was physically fit more than most of the kids that were 10 years younger than I was. So it turned out that the physical stuff was not an issue, and I was mature enough when I went in that being yelled at was no big deal. I knew it was all part of a game. You only had to do it for a certain amount of time, and it would be over. I mean, it was not fun, but it was not nearly as bad as I thought.
Marge is actually a small, petite woman, and she's saying she got through boot camp, so maybe the rest of us could too.
Right. What a sense of accomplishment just getting through that.
Yeah. So how long did boot camp actually last?
Well, here's the thing. They say, oh, it's like 8 or 9 weeks, and you're like, oh, no problem. But what they don't tell you is that weekends don't count as drill time. Vacations like Christmas or New Year's or Thanksgiving don't count. So that's when I was in boot camp, and it turned out to be a 3-month ordeal.
A little more than you bargained
for. More than I bargained for.
When you joined the Navy, you specifically had in mind being in the music area, but I've heard from some other people in the military, it doesn't always turn out that you get your first choice. Did you manage to get your first choice?
Well, that was one of the main reasons of going into the Navy is because they would offer me a contract specifically for being a musician.
So if
for some reason they decided that I wasn't going to be a musician, then I was allowed to leave the Navy. To me, that was very important. I wasn't going in to kill people. I was going in to play music.
Okay, well, it's good that you had that. What job did you first do as a musician for the Navy?
As soon as you're done with boot camp, you just go to the Armed Forces School of Music. When I was there, they were training musicians in the Navy, the Marine Corps, and the Army, and we would all be training together.
And so where's that school located?
It's in Little Creek, Virginia.
Were you living in a barracks?
Yep, in the barracks.
That would be a change, too.
For me, it was fun. I really enjoyed my time there. I mean, I got to play music with wonderful people from different branches of the service, and we even had a small group of us that wound up playing a brass quintet, and then we also got a chance to enjoy the Virginia Beach area.
Nice, nice. And so how long did the school part of it last?
I accelerated out, and I think it was like 6 weeks that I was out, but I think it's typically 4 months or six months, something like that. There was a small group of us that accelerated out. We all had advanced degrees, and they just wanted to place us, you know, in the bands at the time.
And so where did you get placed?
So I got orders to Seattle. That's how I came here.
Had you been to Seattle before?
Never. I knew nothing about it.
Interesting. Do you remember what were your first impressions?
I loved it. I remember being so pleasantly surprised with Seattle. It reminded me of a much bigger Ithaca. When I first arrived to Seattle, the base was at Sandpoint, which is right on Lake Washington. It reminded me so much of Lake Cayuga in New York. And then you have UW up on a hill, just like you had Cornell on a hill or Ithaca on a hill. Just the physical space of Seattle with all the water and the mountains is just beautiful.
It's a wee bit colder in upstate New York.
Yes, that was a wonderful surprise to come to Seattle and not have to shovel snow.
Yes, I would think so. Yeah. And when you were first here, were you on base, living on base?
Yes, I was living on base right there at Sandpoint. It was great. I mean, you have a view of the water from your barracks.
This is nice.
Yeah,
nice
that's why living. I joined the Navy.
Yeah, very good. So you were in a band immediately, and what and where did that band play?
The Navy band, when we were in Seattle, we did a lot of playing for the community. We'd play down on the waterfront, downtown Seattle, in the summer times. We'd march Seafair. Over the years, we'd done several different parades for communities for 4th of July. We even did a big to-do with the Army band. We would travel for military ceremonies to Whidbey quite often, down Bremerton, Bangor Sub Base.
Did the band ever make it over to the Olympic Peninsula?
When the Sandpoint base closed, the band transferred to the sub-base Banger in Silverdale. I was there for about 2 years. And so we wound up doing a lot more in this area than in Seattle because it was too expensive to go over all the time.
Why and when did you leave the military?
I left the end of July 97. I already had a teaching job lined up before I left.
Okay. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. The show is called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. Our Town profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work on the Olympic Peninsula. Today, my guest is Marge Rosen, who's the new conductor of the Port Townsend Summer Band. Marge was just telling me how she grew up with a profound love of music. She taught music for years, then ended up playing in a fleet band for the Navy. She had a career digression after she left, and she's just about to tell us about it. It's a bit unusual. You sort of, for a while, went from music to computer science.
I did. I always had great interest in computers. My father worked at Brookhaven National Laboratory on Long Island as a computer specialist. I mean, I've seen everything from punch cards, mainframe computers, and on up. And I was always fascinated with all the science. So I would take some electives in computer science. And even though I was still in the band, you know, I was kind of teaching myself a little bit about C, programming languages, and such. I was just fortunate a couple of years before Y2K that I got an apprenticeship with Safeco Insurance Company to learn to write COBOL. So I did that for 8 years.
Wow.
Really enjoyed the computer programming.
That's slightly unusual to go from music to computers, but...
Not really. Actually, there are a lot of musicians at Microsoft, at Amazon. There's a correlation, supposedly, about people who study music and their ability to do computer science.
That's fascinating. I had no idea. So you said you did that for 7 or 8 years, but then you went back to your first love?
Right. Well, even when I was working for Safeco, I was still conducting community bands. I still had a teaching studio, and I was still freelancing. So I've always been hustling two jobs, it seems like.
Well, what can you say? At some point, you were involved in starting the Seattle Women's Jazz Orchestra. Can you talk about that a little
bit? Right. So I was really fortunate. A musician friend invited me to join this new band that they were starting. So I'm a founding member of that band that we're almost at the 20-year anniversary of the band. It's great. It's a 16-piece big band. We play a lot of contemporary music. I love playing with this band. It's just so much fun for me. I've had the opportunity to play lead trumpet, which most women never have the opportunity to do. You know, I've traveled with the band. We've gone to Lima, Peru twice to play in the jazz festival there.
Wow,
just,
it
was
cool.
Fantastic. We play almost every year at the Earshot Jazz Festival, which is going on now in Seattle. And I was their executive director for 8 years.
That's amazing. I hadn't thought about it before, but you were mentioning a jazz festival in Lima, Peru. I guess there are jazz festivals around the world.
Yep, there are.
Did you go to any other ones outside of the country?
No, we've done some other things in the country, but that's the only international travel I did with SWOJO.
For a while, you were with the Veterans Affairs.
Yeah, for 2 years, I worked as a veteran service representative, and I helped some vets get their disability compensation and medical benefits.
That's great. How did you end up being the new conductor of the Port Townsend Band? What happened there?
Very fortunate. I decided to spend the summer in the house at Port Angeles. And I thought, well, I have a block of time. Let me see what musical opportunities are out there. Mm-hmm. So I just played in every band that I could find that would let me come in and play. I spent a good time with the Squim City Band, a great community band in our neighboring city there. And I met some musicians, Miles, the former conductor of the Port Townsend Summer Band, and he invited me to come check out the Port Townsend Summer Band, and I played some, and they let me conduct some, and I didn't even know they were looking for a conductor until he said, hey, do you want to conduct the band? I'm like, yes. He goes, are you sure? I'm like, well, let me go check it out, but yes.
Carl Bach was the conductor, and then Carl was on the show, Miles was on the show, and I'm really thankful that you're on the show. But some of our listeners probably have never been to a concert for the Port Townsend Summer Band. Can you just give us a bit of overview? How many players? What do they do? What do you do?
The band runs approximately 45 people. All the musicians are volunteers. The Port Townsend Summer Band is a 501c3 nonprofit. They just enjoy getting together during the summer, playing traditional marches, concert band music, and musical medleys, free to the public. They're all family-oriented. I've played concerts with them at the Chetsamoka Park. They've played at the Pope Marine Park. They do Veterans Day and Memorial Day ceremonies at the American Legion in town. And they also do a 4th of July at Fort Warden, usually.
And the band members range in age from, what, 16 to 95?
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Well, that's great. Yep. That's really great. So we are very close to the Veterans Day performance. Can you talk about that?
Yes, very excited to be part of this, especially with my background as being a military musician and a veteran myself. I'm very fortunate that Carl Bach has agreed to be our guest conductor. He'll be conducting his composition, The Quilts of Valor.
And for those of you who don't know this, Carl was also a military band member.
Right, Navy band.
Navy band. What else happens during the Veterans Day performance?
The band gets to play some marches and patriotic music in a small concert, and then we also participate during the actual ceremony. To me, this is a great way to start. I mean, I know everything about military ceremony for these kinds of things. To me, it's very important, and I'm glad to be part of it.
It's on November 11th at the American Legion Hall in downtown Port Townsend. The part of the ceremony that always moves me is where the band plays a snippet of each branch of the military's song, and the vets from that branch stand up, and the crowd cheers and carries on. It's really amazing.
Yeah. Everyone loves that part.
Yeah, it's really good. Every conductor has his or her ideas on what the vision of the band is. And I know you're barely starting here, but can you talk for a little bit about what you see the band doing in upcoming years under you?
Well, I really do like the model that the Port Townsend Summer Band has. I mean, with Carl Bach, it's modeled after what I'm familiar with in the Washington, D.C. area. I mean, that's where he comes from, where you have marches, you have traditional concert band repertoire like Suite in E-flat or any of the concert band repertoire that you would play in high school. And then you'd also have some transcriptions of some classical music or operas. You have guest soloists. And sometimes you throw in some things that are a little bit more familiar, more pop-oriented or from musicals.
Yeah, I can see that. When we spoke before, you were talking about younger people and getting them interested in the music. I mean, sometimes when I go to the concerts, particularly the summer ones where the band is playing in the gazebo and the people are on the lawns having a little picnic and the kids are running around and dancing, I think I'm in a, you know, Norman Rockwell painting.
Exactly. It's iconic. And it's so beautiful here in Port Townsend with that gazebo, with the water, and it's just a beautiful spot.
It is. So are you going to introduce some more contemporary music to add to this, what you're doing already?
I would like to. Not so much contemporary wind band material, but John Williams. I would think most kids today are familiar with the theme from Star Wars, Danny Elfman, some of the great film composers. It seems that the great American classical music that most people know comes from the movies. So I would like to add some of that in, just because we need to keep the younger generation interested in live acoustic music, too.
I agree with you on that. Well, we're running sort of short on time, but I'd sort of like to talk a little bit about your experience or your feeling about living on the Olympic Peninsula. What do you like about it?
I love the salt air. It's clean. It smells great. Even low tide, it's what I need. I've always lived near the water, so it's just beautiful. I mean, one way I have a view of the gorgeous Strait of Juan de Fuca and Victoria, and on the other side I have the Olympic Mountains. It's so beautiful here.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't you tell me you have a dog?
I do. I love going for walks in the forest and in the neighborhood and down on the beach. It's a lot of fun.
What kind of dog?
I have a little corgi named Hank.
Hank, okay. Before we close, are there any other things you would like to say about the band and your concept?
Well, I am thrilled to be part of this band, especially in Port Townsend. I've visited here and vacationed here for many, many years. And I do want to just say, because the band is a nonprofit that has annual expenses, that we really want to thank our sponsors and supporters. We've had generous donations from many people in the community, including Port Townsend Art Guild, the Port Townsend Arts Commission, Seven Seniors Casino, the Port Townsend Rotary, the Port Townsend Elks Lodge, and many other area businesses that have helped contribute, because we have fees like anyone else, insurance, storage for our library, and yeah, instruments. And so I just think it's great that the community comes, they enjoy the music, and they help out. And we encourage anyone who plays a band instrument to come join us.
Yeah. So in addition to the Veterans Day event, how would someone find out about upcoming things in the rest of the year?
Well, Port Townsend Summer Band has a website, ptsummerband.org, and there's a calendar of events there. We typically play a concert the last Sunday of the month.
That's great. Yeah, folks, we need to step up and support the band, because it's a wonderful part of the community, and we should all be thankful that we have it. And speaking of thankful, mm-hmm, I want to thank you for being on the show, Marge. We've been talking with Marge Rosen, the new conductor for the Port Townsend Summer Band. And in addition to thanking Marge, I want to thank my partner, John McPherson, the man in the glass booth, editor and producer of the show. He's the one who smooths out all of our mumbles and grumbles. He'll make me and my guests sound so much more eloquent than we really are. I also want to thank three people deeply devoted to this station: Larry Stein, program director, Kate Ingram, station manager, and Robert Ambrose, chairman of the board. All work incredibly hard to make KPTZ a station we can all enjoy and celebrate. I also want to thank you, the listener. KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. It's a community radio station. We're all volunteers here. We give our time because we believe that Jefferson County needs a free local voice. We need your support, listeners. We need donations. We need volunteers. Donations are particularly important right now, as we're trying to raise money to move out of our current world headquarters in a trailer in the parking lot at Mountain View School to a renovated building at Fort Worden. No matter what the contractor tells you, it's going to cost more, a lot more. So keep those donations rolling in. So listener, I'm signing off for today, but please keep listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.